Good morning, and I greet you in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, the one we've been singing about, the one that we can worship. The title of our message this morning is I, the Challenge of Self-Denial. And our text is going to be from a familiar passage. If you want to turn there, Mark chapter 8, verses 34 to 38, and along with some other passages and examples as we go along. I had shared a few weeks ago on this subject at Lamb of God, and it was a challenge to me, so I trust you can be challenged this morning. It's not something that I have figured out, so as I stand up here and share, it's something that I must work on myself. But I think it's a relevant thing for us to consider and to challenge ourselves in our lives, and that is self-denial. After considering this topic, it seems the challenge of this idea of self-denial comes down to one letter in the middle of this word, and that is the I in denial. That one letter, that one single letter, creates our title, I, the Challenge of Self-Denial. And if we go back to the beginning of time, to the Garden of Eden, in Genesis, we see that I became the issue for sin being introduced into the world. We know the serpent tempted Eve to eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the reason for eating was self-advancement. Satan told Eve, "You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." The temptation, the motivation to eat in Eve's mind was for herself. It was all about I. And when living in sin today, I becomes more important than God, and self is elevated to the top, and God is placed at the bottom. Salvation in our lives as Christians is the act of flipping that or reversing that order. It's placing God on top and placing ourselves at the bottom. And I would say that self-denial is the process of keeping that order correct, keeping it in the right order. That is self-denial. And I want to be clear by saying at the beginning, self-denial is not something we achieve one time and then are done with. It's something that we face the rest of our lives, and it's something that each one of us must do on a daily basis. It's a lifestyle that we embrace. We must watch out for I and quickly surrender those areas to God. I would say that self-denial is not a list of prescribed procedures. Rather, each individual will be called upon to surrender certain areas to God. I can't give you a list this morning that says, do this and do that, and you will have created self-denial in your life. It's not how it works. But let's read our text, and then we will continue on. Mark chapter 8, verses 34 through 39. When he had called the people to himself, with his disciples also, he said to them, "Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." In the prior verses to our text, Jesus was teaching his disciples about his eventual suffering and death. And it says he revealed this word openly to his disciples. He was forthright. He was clear about what was going to happen to him. And Peter begins to rebuke Jesus and says, "Well, don't talk this way." And Jesus reprimands him and says, "Get thee behind me, Satan." And that, I think, was because the struggle of the cross was soon coming to Christ as a man, and he would need to surrender himself to this call of crucifixion and death to bring salvation to all mankind. He then begins our text by talking about a cross that us as followers of Christ have to bear. People often talk about a problem they face or a tough situation they face as their cross that they need to bear. And God does allow difficult situations into our lives that come our way, the challenges that come our way. But I don't think this cross is referring to those specific situations. Rather, a cross was a sign of death. It signaled that something was going to be put to death. And in the context here, that putting to death involves the issue of self and that of self-denial. So this is a call to put to death our own desires, our own ambitions, and our own wants. And in a carnal state, in a human state, we are good at wanting our own things. We are not good at denying ourselves. I think we would all acknowledge that. But Jesus makes it clear, the act of following Christ requires self-denial. So this realization, this reality is essential to Christianity and to one's eternal life. It's not an optional call, rather it's required here according to what Christ says. Christ doesn't say, well, believe on me and do whatever you like. No, Christ's call is for lordship salvation, allowing him to rule and to reign in our lives. And this is where the call for self-denial takes place. We must choose who is going to be at the center of our life. And in fact, in verse 35, Jesus says that those who are consumed by their own lives and what they can accomplish for themselves will end up losing their life forever. They have not followed the call to replace themselves as number one with Jesus Christ, who is the true number one, the center of the universe. And the word lose for us has a negative connotation often, and here it partially does, but the word is also used as somewhat of an oxymoron. And it says here to lose in order to save. So how does one lose his life to save his life? How does that process look? And I'd like to share a little bit of a biography here of an individual. I want you to take a trip back with me in time about 65 years ago. The day is January 2nd, 1956, and a young man has worked hard for this day. He has looked forward to this day for many years. However, this day was not about himself. Rather, it was about Christ and the gospel being proclaimed to those who had never heard. This man was born January 8, 1927 in Portland, Oregon, as the son of a traveling preacher. And he chose to follow Christ at a young age, and as he grew older, he had a passion to see Christ preach. He wanted all people to know about Christ. And after high school, he ended up at Wheaton College in Illinois. And on Sundays, when he was there for college, he would travel into Chicago. He would ride the train to Chicago and would talk to people in the train station about Christ. And he often felt ineffective in his work, as the times of knowingly leading people to Christ was slim. And he wrote this, "No fruit yet. Why is it that I'm so unproductive? I cannot recall leading more than one or two into the kingdom." In 1950, after his college time, he attended a Wycliffe Bible translation event, and he heard of a group of people in South America that had never heard the name of Christ, and they were considered savages by many. The Lord placed in his heart a burning desire to go share the gospel with these people. And finally, the day had arrived. This was the day to go make a camp in the area of the Alka Indians and hopefully meet this tribe, these people, in person. Many of you have probably figured it out, but we know this man is Jim Elliot, an individual who was consumed with Jesus, who had sacrificed and denied self in order to extend the cause of Christ. And some of his notes from his diaries have been preserved and published today. And listen to just a couple things that Jim wrote. And as you think about it, think about this in regards to self-denial. And I quote, "God, I pray thee, light these idle sticks of my life, and may I burn for thee. Consume my life, my God, for it is thine. I seek not a long life, but a full one, like you, Lord Jesus." And another quote that he wrote in his devotions, "Father, let me be weak, that I may loose my clutch on everything temporal. My life, my reputation, my possessions, Lord, let me loose the tension of the grasping hand. Rather, open my hand to receive the nail of Calvary, as Christ was opened, that I, releasing all, might be released, unleashed from all that binds me now. He thought heaven, yea, equality with God, not a thing to be clutched at. So let me release my grasp." And we know that Jim practiced what he wrote here. He practiced what he preached. He was willing to deny self for a short time on this earth in order to gain what mattered most. His prayer that God would make him lose his clutch on everything temporal. Brothers and sisters, we desperately hang on to most things temporal that we can. But that grasp, that hanging on for dear life, is what Christ says causes one to lose their life forever. The desire to hold on to things we know and want versus letting go and hanging on to Christ. This is the choice that Christ is asking us to make. To let go of all things and hang on to Him. And Jim understood this. And to finish the story, and we know it well, 4 days later, an Alka man and two women appeared and sat and ate some food with the missionaries there on the sandbar along the Curé River. And they even gave the fella a plane ride there. And shortly after, these three guests left and disappeared into the jungle again. And 2 days later, the missionaries sat there, and they patiently waited for more Alkas to come. They flew their airplane over the area, and they saw a group of people finally heading their way again. And Nate Saint, the pilot, he had radioed his wife that afternoon about 12:30 and said, "There are people coming our way. We're excited. We'll radio you again at 4:30 and let you know what the outcome is." Well, at the river, these two women finally appeared. The missionaries were excited. But as soon as these ladies had appeared, we know that a group of men also appeared and killed these five missionaries in and along the river. The promised afternoon radio call never came. Five young missionary men were killed by the people that they were trying to reach. It is said that Jim Elliott was the first to die among the men that day. And 6 years earlier, he had written this: "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose." These missionaries experienced that in a literal way that day in Ecuador. They gave up their earthly lives to gain the eternal reward. Verse 36 in our text rings true with this quote and with this storyline. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Jesus is saying you can get all the wealth you want. You can have all the property you want. You can have all the fame you want. Yet what is that worth in comparison to your own soul? The price, the worth of a man's soul cannot be determined. The reality is, at the end of life, the amount of money in the bank account won't matter, but rather the amount of dependency upon Christ is what will. Now the concept of self-denial is rather countercultural today. We hear a lot about loving yourself, taking care of yourself, making sure you're happy, self-love. It's all about you. And we see here that self-promotion is not what God is asking from us. He wants us totally dependent on Him. God is wanting sacrifice, and He is asking for us to sacrifice in this life to gain in the next. Paul, Romans 12, a verse we know well: "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." Life is only found as we're willing to sacrifice ourselves. And as believers, it's easy to find motivation in people like Jim Elliott, the story that I shared. We look up to them and we say, "Wow, those people really had it figured out. They inspire me." But honestly, motivation and inspiration are worthless unless we respond to that and actually do something about it. Unless action is taken, we have not accomplished anything. Turn with me to Luke chapter 9. And Jesus encounters a group of people here that on the surface seemed to be interested in serving the kingdom of God. But they were not willing to take the correct course of action. They weren't willing to deny themselves. And their excuses were not that different from what we would like to often say today. Luke chapter 9, verses 57 to 62. "Now it happened, as they journeyed on the road, that someone said to him, 'Lord, I will follow you wherever you go.' And Jesus said to him, 'Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Then he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. But Jesus said to him, no one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. We have three individuals here, three responses, yet surrender apparently had not taken place in their lives. And we observe three things that self-denial requires from each of these individuals. So consider your own life as we think about this. Individual number one, verse 57, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. Rather bold statement. And Jesus responds and says, foxes have holes to call home, birds have nests to call home, but Jesus, the Son of God, has no place to call home. What should we assume by this response from Jesus? It's kind of a random comment, it seems, based on what the man says here. But I think Jesus is telling this individual that following Christ takes sacrifice, that it's not easy. He's telling the man, the journey with me will require you to sacrifice personal luxury. So number one, self-denial requires personal sacrifice. Now, Jesus wasn't saying that selling our house and living under the bridge was a requirement for self-denial. However, if that house means more to you than Christ, that may be what Jesus would ask you to do. I think this list of personal sacrifice will probably look different for each one of us here this morning. But what will look the same to each of us is that nothing can be more important than Jesus in each one of our lives. We all must decide what personal sacrifice may look like for ourselves. And there are a number of things it can be that God asks of us to surrender to Him and to sacrifice. And again, it's not the same for everybody. Maybe sports, it may be vacations, it may be cars, clothes, houses, work. It may be, and you can fill in the blank, what God may ask of you from a personal standpoint to sacrifice and to deny yourself of. We have to evaluate our lives and ask the Lord, show me those things that may be keeping me from fully following you. And we live in a land of plenty, and that's a blessing. We would acknowledge that. But it can also be a challenge and a problem when it comes to self-denial. We must guard our hearts from being sidetracked by personal luxuries and many temporal things that we have. The second individual, verse 59, this time Jesus calls out and says, follow me. And this man responds with, Lord, let me first go and bury my dead father. Seems like a logical response. This man was in a state of hurt and that he should go do that. But the thought among some commentators here is that the man's father had not already died. Rather, the man is wanting to wait until his father dies before he follows Christ. He is wanting to push off the call here of God, of Christ on his life. Push it off and continue living as he has been. So number two, self-denial means personal obligations come secondary to Christian obligations. Now Jesus says, let life happen. It is fleeting. Aging and death will happen whether you watch it or not. Now is the time to serve the kingdom of God. And please don't misunderstand. We do have obligations as parents to our children or children to elderly parents. But Jesus is saying, you cannot be consumed with these things and avoid work in the kingdom. Kingdom work must take place in spite of our personal obligations, not because somehow our schedule is now free and we will now serve in the kingdom. We can't think we're exempt from fields ready to harvest because we've been working in fields that are already harvested. Many people function this way. We're busy. We're consumed with what we're doing. I don't have time for that. And Christ here says, my kingdom, the obligation of the kingdom, is to be our priority. Individual number three, verse 61. Third man calls out, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and say goodbye to those who are at my house. And Jesus responds that there is not an option to stop and to look back. Observation number three, self-denial requires deliberate action without looking back. This individual seems to be somewhat wavering in his decision for Christ. Let me go back and see my family, say goodbye. And Christ says, one cannot waver in your commitment to me. And we know throughout Scripture that that is repeated. Christ is looking for full surrender. Revelation 3, we think of Christ calling out lukewarmness, or should we say a casual approach to Christianity. It's not an acceptable form of self-denial that someone is trying to have I and self and God in the picture at the same time doesn't work. They both can't be at the center. Christ says he wishes that we were either cold or hot, that we were one way or the other, not trying to find a middle ground. And then Jesus gives words to this man. He draws a comparison of the sold-out disciple to a farmer. When a farmer goes out to plow the field, he must look forward when he's plowing. Now, I'm not a farmer, and I've never plowed, even with a tractor, in my life. But we know that when you go out to plow, if you want straight rows, you must look forward and look at something in the distance and plow towards that mark to create straight fields, right? And if we look backwards while we're trying to plow, they might be kind of crooked and not look very nice. And it seems this man wanted to go with Christ, but he looked back, and he looked back at what he was leaving behind. He looked back at family. He looked back at friends, and he realized he was leaving those things behind, and he seems to decide that maybe he can't do that. So we must not look back this morning. We must not be looking back at former things and wishing that we were still there. The other thing that a farmer does when he is out plowing, he holds on tight to the plow. Jesus is calling us here to make a deliberate choice to hold on tight to him. And once we make that decision, we need to hang on. And too often people hang on to Christ and start losing that grip. They stop focusing on him, and the furrows down that field start to get crooked. False doctrine creeps in, and they start to veer off the side and plow across the field, no longer accomplishing the task they were trying to do. So number three again, self-denial requires deliberate action without looking back. So where do we find a clear example in Scripture of self-denial? Philippians chapter 2, and some verses that probably most of us could quote. In regards to Christ and what he gave up, chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. We have a review of Christ's journey here to the cross. Christ was God, yet he was willing to give up the benefits of this position and reputation and come to earth for you and I. Paul says here, let this mind be in you. It's not just something that we sit back and admire about Christ. Paul is instructing his readers to embrace the same humility, to embrace the same surrender, to embrace our cross with the same willingness as Christ, to be willing to give up self, to give up desires, and let God rule in our own lives. Jesus was not hanging on to the fact that he was God. Rather, he was willing to come in the likeness of men. And we often are so afraid we're going to lose something if we don't hang on to it. But Jesus here, it said he made himself of no reputation. The Greek word has the idea of making something empty. So we got to be careful here. Christ didn't empty himself of being God. Let's keep that in sight. Christ is still God. But he was adding humanity to his nature. So he emptied himself and allowed himself to add humanity to his nature by coming to this earth. So there is that element of him emptying himself by becoming man. And if Christ had to empty himself in obedience to the Father, How much more must we empty ourselves of self and allow Christ to fill us? Yet we are so scared often to be willing to empty. I came across a quote the other day that summed this up well. It said, "Jesus is worth everything you are afraid of losing." And I think that's the call of self-denial. We're afraid to do it because of what we might lose. Yet Jesus is worth all. We try to lead. We try to be in charge of our lives because we don't want to lose. But in reality, the way not to lose is by leading, is to give up leading and to start following. Jesus said in our text, "Let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." The appeal from Christ is to let him lead. And that's a call that we must consider this morning for each one of us, that we must consider to heed and to apply to our life, to let Christ lead. Following is a surrender of one's will. It's denying self and giving charge of our direction to someone else. The final verse of our text gives a warning, and it makes us evaluate how we are living in regards to self-denial. Verse 38, "For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him, the Son of Man, also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." The rejection of Christ's call for self-denial leads to his rejection of that same person at the end of time. So we have a choice. We have a decision that we can make today. Are we going to let I get in the way, or will we surrender to Christ? I had to think of the rich young ruler in Matthew 19. As we think about a choice that much must be made in regards to denying self, I think there's probably no better example of that than the rich young ruler. "Now behold, one came and said to him, 'Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?' So he said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, and that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments.' He said to him, 'Which ones?' Jesus said, 'You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself.' And the young man said to him, 'All these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack?' And Jesus said to him, 'If you want to be perfect, go, sell what you have, and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me.' But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions." The young man comes and asks Christ, "What must I do to have eternal life?" And Jesus asks him, "Have you carried out the commands of the law?" And we know he said, "Well, yeah, he's done all those things since he was a young person. He's obeyed, he's done them." And Jesus, knowing the heart here of this young man, he knew that he was holding back. He knew that money, that possessions were the most important thing to him. And he asked him to give up those possessions for the sake of the kingdom in order to find eternal life. So what about us today? The call here is not for everyone to sell all that you possess and give to the poor. That's not the call. The call of Jesus is to give up that which appeals to the flesh. The call is to deny self. The call is to deny what I want. So I leave you with this. Have you given all to God? Have you surrendered all to God? Have you denied self and surrendered I to God? He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. And I pray we can all say with Paul, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Let's pray. Lord, we come to you this morning, challenged, Lord, in our relationship with you. Lord, as we read your words, the call to deny self, and to follow you. It's one that each one of us must process individually, reflect on our lives, and ask the question, Lord, have I surrendered all? Have I denied myself in order to follow you? Lord, I thank you for your word and the challenges that it gives to us, the instruction that it gives to us to live each day. Lord, go with us from this place. Bless each one that is here today. Lord, that we would serve you with whole hearts, with all of our faith placed in you. We just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.